أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الانسان انك كادح الى ربك كدحا فملاقي. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
So we've been looking at Surah Al-Inshiqaq, Surah number 84 of the Quran, 25 ayat. You know that? It's a late Makki surah. And the first thing that you would know about any surah, for that matter, is you need to know what the name means. So Inshiqaq in essence means something that you break or tear apart, but you cannot repair it, so it's irreparable. Okay? We talked about the two focus points of this surah. The first one was that the human being will definitely meet his or her striving. That means whatever I had in my head as success, I'm going to get there. It's going to get there. But it will be very different if I didn't look at divine guidance. So I go back to my Rabb and he'll tell me, this is your life, this is what you did. And the second focus of the surah is that every single stage in life will come to an end. You can bang your head against a wall. It's not going to change. You will stop being a baby. You will stop being a toddler. You will stop being a student. You will stop being a teenager. You will stop being young. You will become middle-aged. Even if you squeeze yourself into any sort of dresses you like. You could have as much Botox as you want, but you will still get old, right? And then we will die. Kullu nafsin za'ikatul maut. So Quran is very specific about that. Now we've looked at the two measurements, because I said everything needs to be measured. Before that, five sections. First section was cosmic chaos on the day of Qiyamah, when we talked about accountability and we talked about Jannah and Jahannam. And I think I made it very clear that Jahannam has no fire. We take our own fires into Jahannam. So Jahannam is no fire at all. Lots of different examples. The second section is the one that we've been looking at for quite a long time, which was actually looking at a section which talked about what is success. And I talked about Suratul Asr and we looked into what success is all about, right? The third section tells me, and we'll look at that today because we're going to finish this surah today. The third section was stage by stage, we're moving towards God, right? There is a conclusion towards it. Fourth section, it talks about a warning to those who, in essence, defy divinity and don't follow divine guidance. And finally, the fifth section is the limitless ajr you get by following divine guidance. Okay, so we're going to look at that. So I'm going to go over the ayat that we're going to look at today, go to their translation, and then we'll see if we can do a little bit of an explanation of them. So we're going to look at the third section where Allah says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْشَفَقِ. Okay? So he says, I swear by Shafaq. Now it's important that we know this because When Quran says something, it's really important. When Allah swears, He doesn't need to swear. It's not like you and me that He has to prove Himself to be right. He swears to give the importance of what He's swearing by. So Shafaq is sort of late Asr. Maybe if I can put it in our words, it's about 20 minutes before Maghrib, when the sky is about orange. Now see what he says. He says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقِ. And I swear by the night when it envelopes you like a blanket. I'll explain in a minute. Then he says, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَسَقِ. And you can see they're all rhyme. Shafaq, wasaq, tasaq. And when the moon, when it becomes full. So it's talking about the stages of the moon. And then he says, لَتَرْقَبُنَّ تَبْقًا أَنْ تَبَقِ. That every single stage will reach its conclusion. Now he's saying to you and me that think about the sky 20 minutes before Maghrib. Suddenly you are enveloped in darkness. And suddenly the moon becomes different things. And he's saying, did you see how quickly the day ends? And how quickly the night comes? 1 minute you're looking at the sky and the next minute it's gone dark. So he's telling you and me that 1 minute you think this part of my life will never end. And you open your eyes and it's ended. Have you seen your kids? They were tiny. I have 5, by the way. And now I look at them, I think, what happened to you? And then they suddenly say, I think. Mama, I think you should do this. Oh, I'll tell you about my little one. She's here today. That's why I'm talking about her. So we went to London, right? And you know, on the underground and all the rest of it, right? So I remember a time when I used to hold her hand really tightly because I didn't want to get her to get lost. Now she tells me, Mama, get on this train. I'll take you right up to the platform. And Mama, when you get home, call me that you've got home safely. And I think, really? So that's exactly what this section is talking about. That suddenly you don't realize that this same child whom you used to hold hands, scared that they would get lost. Now they tell you, call me when you get home. Are you serious? Anyway, so basically what it's trying to tell me is that life will come to an end. It will progress whether I like it or I don't. Are you good with the third section now? Yes? Okay. Now let's look at the fourth section. Fourth section, it says, فَالْمَالَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Now if they see all this, Allah is saying, why don't they still believe? That they will come to a stage where their life will end. They won't live forever. He's saying, فَمَا لَهُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then he says, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. This is a mustahab ayah of sajda. You know there are 4 wajib ones. This one is a mustahab. When you hear it, just put your head down in acknowledgement of the fact that he has told you and me that they do not respond to the Qur'an. They don't respond, they don't react, they don't submit. I'm talking about me. So here's me in Ramadan, right? All right, Ramadan comes once a year. When somebody dies, have you seen when you go to a place where somebody dies? They have all these Qur'ans, siparas they call them, right? Jews, all these different ones. And then sometimes it's quarter because they don't expect you to finish the whole one. Have you seen them or not? And then you pick one up and you go like that. No reaction on your face as well. In fact, one of the ayat is saying, you will definitely be in loss. And you're just reading it, yeah, how's everybody chewing gum, looking at everybody around. And one of the ayat is saying, Kilad kulil jannah, enter jannah. And you're not even smiling. Then how does this not be wrong? It is saying here, quite clearly, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنِ. When the Qur'an is recited, لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. They don't submit to it. They don't react to it. Okay. I'm talking about me, by the way. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَّرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. They cover up the truth and they lie. You see, kafir is not someone. We tend to think everybody except, you know, we're Muslims, everybody else is kafir. That's not true. Kafara in Arabic means to cover up. So if you plant a seed, a farmer is known as somebody who does kufr because he cover up the seed. So kafir is one who intentionally covers up the truth. You can't go around calling people kafir. It's not up to you and me to say anything like that, right? Well, you kadhibun, and they lie. Wallahu a'lamu bima yu'un. Allah knows what's in their containers. Yu'un is a container. He knows what my intention is. You know, when we look at people, the moment they say assalamu alaikum, you must assume they are Muslims. You cannot assume anything else. The moment they say peace be upon you, khalas, that's it. Even in fiqh, and I've mentioned this before, if I had a child on my lap, and you saw really clearly that the child on my lap left a wet patch, and you could see the child was wearing diapers, but I went out and I came back in, you have to assume that I made it park. Even if you saw that patch, you can't say, oh God, no, she's coming in and she's praying salah, and now she's, you can't. That is called husnudhan, having a good thought about everyone. Well, these people, Allah is saying, Wallahu a'lamu bima'yu'un, their intentions, Allah knows their intentions. Now he tells, and it's quite strong, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Now this is, it's really an amazing ayah. You know, bashara in Arabic means the outer part of the tree, you know, the bark. And bashara is normally used to give somebody good news. So give them the good news that they will have painful punishment. Okay. If I had too many sweets, well, you don't eat sweets, do you? No halwas, no nothing. If I had too many sweets, and I didn't brush my teeth, and I didn't look after myself, what's going to happen to my teeth? They're going to go a bit funky, right? And when I go to the dentist, will it be good news or bad news? But good news that I went to the dentist because he will make or she will make it better. So when it says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, give them the good news that all this will be addressed. Now you and I don't want it addressed. We don't want it in the first place. Prevention is better than cure. You good? Okay, so that's that section. But now the last section. Amazing. He says, out of all this, there are people who are an exception. إِلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe. Well, amilu salihat, we talked about it. Amilu salihat, amal is a deed with intention. Salihat is where you put people together, you put broken hearts together. Lahum ajrun ghayru mamnoon. For them is a reward, ghayr not. Mamnoon means to cut off, which will never ever be cut off. And I asked you, and I know you think I shouldn't ask you to watch a movie, right? And I asked you to read a book, or look at the movie called Limitless. Do you remember? Now, I don't want you to look at the plot of Limitless, because that's just for people to read. But in Limitless, there is a drug. And that drug's called NZT or NZT, and I think the number is 48. So this person finds this drug, and when he eats that drug, he finds out that he can use his brain to a totally full capacity. Oh, come on, you've got to watch it or read it. Don't look at the plot. Just look at that drug. Okay. Now, replace that drug with divine success. Or amanu wa amilus salihat. And it will allow you and me to reach our full potential. Because every single day, how many times in a day do you pray? Sorry, 5, yes? And then in each of those 5 prayers, how many do we recite Suratul Fatiha? Oh, come on, I need some reactions.
17.
Thank God for that. Okay, 17 out of the 17. Well, at least in the first 2, you will recite Suratul Fatiha. And in each Suratul Fatiha, you recite, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. Guide me to my full potential every single day. So if I'm sitting there saying, guide me to my full potential, so say I don't know how to get to some place and I put my sat nav on. You have Waze, it's really good, right? So you put Waze on or you put your sat nav on or whatever you put on, and it shows you the way, but you actually go a different direction. I mean, it'll get tired of saying, you turn, turn left, you turn right. Tells you go straight, you go, no, I'm going to, because I like the scenery. That's what you're going to do. So if I say, ihdina siratal mustaqim, and he's shown me all these different ways, and I don't follow them, then obviously it's good news for adhabun alim. Can you understand where I'm coming from? Okay, now let's look at how I change. I'm looking at me and I'm talking to myself here, okay? So the idea is to rebrand something. Problem is, today, if I said the word Muslim, not to you, but if I said the general word Muslim, the first thing that comes to mind is terrorist. The second thing that comes to mind is oppressible. Not oppressed, but oppressible. Third thing that comes to mind is, well, maybe not that educated. And fourth, subservient servant. Now, I've said this a lot of times. I'm going to repeat to you some examples from my life. I remember very, very clearly many, many years ago, not now. Must be talking about 20 or 30 years ago. I remember trying to go to the airport, and I was taking my cousin there. Okay, so I was driving this car, taking. Now, what you should never do, even if you're getting late, is overtake a police car. That's the stupidest thing you can do. But that's what I did. So as I went ahead, he came in front of me, and you know there's this flashing light which says, stop. You have to stop. So he came out. I was wearing a black abaya. I'll tell you why. Because I was so lazy to change, I had pajamas underneath. Okay? So black abaya, scarf, straight to the airport to drop him. And when I came out, he looked at me. Not today, by the way. This is 30 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago. And he said, have you got your driving license? Okay? I gave him my piece of paper. Then he said, when were you born? Don't ask me what I said after that. Just don't, okay? But you see, there is a correlation between what you look like and what he thought it was. I'll give you another example. Again, this is many years ago, before the children were born. So it must be about 40-something years ago, okay? I remember living in Chelmsford, and this is where I went to recite Mudlith this year, and it was amazing, because like everything came back. I remember walking with my husband, which I used to do quite a bit, and I stopped to tie my shoelaces. And I tied my shoelaces, and the poor man was waiting, right? As men do. Didn't know what to do. And this woman came up to me and said, does he make you bow down to him in the streets as well? And I thought, what are you talking about? A poor guy, I mean, he bows down. Forget about me, okay? So I said, what? Do you bow? And then she put in my hand the name and the phone number for the Citizens Advice Bureau. Okay? I'm telling you, this many, many years ago, not now, many, many years ago. Today they won't even come near you. But anyway, regardless of that, there is this media machine that gives a different example. Today they tell you that the lives of somebody in Europe is far greater than the life of somebody in the Middle East. You know that. You see it all the time, right? So there's a media machine that goes on. And we tend to believe it a little bit because in our heads, and I'm talking about young people here, the older ones are a bit better. If I ask them to close their eyes and I told them, what is success? How do you define a successful woman? Okay? You can feel a bit uncomfortable if you want, but I'm going to say these things. Okay? So they will tell you that probably, and remember, none of these things are wrong. So don't say I said they were wrong. But if they describe success, they would tell you it's a career-oriented professional woman who has a million followers or a large following on social media. Okay? So there's lots of likes. Okay. The second thing they'll tell you is that she has a beautiful home. The third thing they tell you is she has nanny-raised children. Because, I mean, she can't deal with the yucks. Okay, so she has nanny-raised children. And God forbid the grandparents forget to look after the children or say no. She said they're being so unfair. I'm talking about the successful woman. Okay. And the fourth one, her life revolves around hemlines. Are you feeling uncomfortable? I'm sorry. Hemlines, the gym, house decor, and a very busy social diary. If you meet them, they'll say, I have got coffee mornings all this week. Maybe I can squeeze you in for breakfast. You don't like it, do you? Anyway, this is what happens. If you ask them, do you believe in a religion? They'll say, yes, I'm a Muslim. How do you identify as a Muslim? Well, I pray. I do pray. Sometimes the morning prayers are a little bit difficult, but I do pray. Then they tell you in Ramadan, I fast. Oh, definitely I fast. And Eid, oh, I love Eid. Oh, and Laylatul Qadr, yeah, I like Laylatul Qadr too. Oh, I do come on Ashura. There might be some Muharram majlises. I come, I sit there, show my face, I go away. I'm talking about me, not about you. Maybe Arba'een, maybe. And you know, sometimes for a good holiday, I go for Umrah. Hajj, oh my God, no. Hajj is too difficult. And Ziyara, yeah, these days they have really good hotels in Karbala and Najaf. So I do go because the food is really good. Are you smiling? Okay. So I'm telling you, this is where religion is, this compartmentalized religion. Okay. So the idea is, I'm not saying any of this is wrong. All I'm trying to say is we need to balance our concept of success. Because you say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Just balance it. There's nothing wrong. Now, how do I do it? So let's look what the outside world teaches us. And it's good learning. Have you had kiwi fruits? Good to have them. They tenderize meat as well. You know that? Okay. So the kiwi fruit used to be called, I'm looking here, it was called the Chinese gooseberry. And nobody liked gooseberries. So what they did is they went on advertising campaign, and in 1959, way before any of you were born, they changed the name to kiwi. And suddenly people started buying them because it came from New Zealand. Do you know all the meat from New Zealand is halal? Oh, you didn't. You do now. Okay, right. Then there was something called raisins. Have you had raisins? The Prophet said, you have 21 raisins in the morning before breakfast, your memory will get better and your skin will clear. So if you've got those spots, or if you've got any, you know, you've got these black marks here if you don't sleep, and they put concealer, right? Is that what they do? Okay. So if you don't want to put concealer, if you don't want all these, what do they call them? Spots? Pimples? I don't know. They call, in my age, they just call them simple pimples. People didn't like to say that. But you got all these 21 raisins before breakfast. So now raisins, there was a slump, and the company was called Californian Raisins. Nobody was buying raisins. So what they did in 1986, by the way, the company has closed now. But in 1986, they employed some singers to go on television, and they got these little men that looked like raisins, and they were singing. And the song became so viral at that time, because it said something about the grapevine, that people started humming it. Have you not hummed? I went to Venice last year, and all I could think about was just one cornetto. Have you heard it? That's all I could think about. Because it gets into your head. In this country, they don't say, I will vacuum carpets. What do they say? I will? Hoover. Hoover is not it's a make. But we've been indoctrinated in the same way these companies indoctrinated us. Now we have to rebrand Islam to ourselves, not to anybody else. To ourselves, we've got to rebrand it, and we've got to think, what do I have with me? How can I rebrand it to myself so I have a balance between the dunya and the akhirah? Nobody said don't have good houses. Nobody said don't go to the gym. Nothing. All that is acceptable. But don't make it so lopsided that religion is only for a few days. So we've got to rebrand it. Let me see. And I'm taking bits from the Prophet. Before that, have you heard of George Jordak? Or George Jordash, his name is. Okay. This guy, when he was born in 1931, died in 2014. He says, when I was 13, my brother, who was a professor in Arabic linguistics and professor in languages, gave me a book. And the book he gave me was Nahjul Balagha. This is George. Google him. These days you can search engine everything, and you can see what I'm talking about. So George Jordash says that 13, he gave me a book. He said, I read the book 200 times. I repeat, he read Nahjul Balagha 200 times. I think Ali, I breathe Ali, I see Ali, I feel Ali. I feel ashamed when I read about him, right? Then there's somebody called, go for it, please. Then there's Gary Legenhausen. I couldn't even pronounce his name because he's German. And he was born in 1953. You can read about him. When he read Nahjul Balagha, again, a professor at one of these major institutions, he just couldn't understand what was going on. In 1983, he becomes a Muslim. He calls himself Muhammad just because of Nahjul Balagha. Now, we have the Quran with us, right? The Prophet said, if you have a pearl in your hand, and somebody calls it a peanut, it's not going to become a peanut. So we have these Qurans in our houses. We have Nahjul Balagha in our houses. But how many have even read the Quran 200 times? Forget about Nahjul Balagha first. Let's look at the Quran in itself. Okay. Again, I'm talking about myself. We sit here, I sit here, and we talk about the Quran, and we talk about the Ahlul Bayt. And maybe Imam Hussein, if I ask you, what do you know about Imam Hussein? Just the day of Ashura. What happened before? Who was the 10th Imam? Who was his mama? I'm 65. Since I was in my mommy's tummy, 66 years I've been coming to Majlis. Yet if somebody said, come 5 minutes, impromptu, talk about the 10th Imam, I'd say, I don't know. Forget about that. You ask somebody to read Ziyara, they say, I can't remember all the names. Really? Are you serious? Okay, so rebrand it. Let's put it in. Where do I start? So first of all, reinforce your identity. Who am I? Doesn't matter what you think you are. I mean, what other people think you are, what you think you are, what you're supposed to think you are. Sorry, it doesn't matter what you think you are. So write down on a piece of paper, who are you? So if I were to write down my identity, I'm a Shia Muslim, I'm a Khoja, very proud of it, and then I'm an Ithna Ashri, you could put it in any order you want, and the greatest achievement of my life is my 5 children. Okay? So now if that is my identity, and I call myself a Muslim, Shia, Ithna Ashri, Khoja, Muslim, mother of 5, whatever you want to say, right? Then I've got to live by that identity. I've got to work hard and see, what is this trying to say? Because Allah's way is not going to change. You can do what you like. It will not change. You and I need to change. If I'm not going according to my identity, then make a U-turn. There's nothing wrong in making a U-turn. Make a plan. Write it down. Say, how am I going to change? And you know what? Life is a competition. There are eyes watching you and me, and there is a clock. Is there not? Soon there will come a time, like Zachariah says in Surah Maryam. He says, Ya Allah, my bones don't follow what I want them to do. You read Surah Maryam, right? Soon there will come a time when you want to do it, but your bones will say, sorry, can't do it. You agree? He says, my hair is burnt as though it's ash. It'll become white. I can go and have it colored, but the white still comes back to remind me that I'm getting old. So before that happens, make a plan. Do I live by my identity? And you know what? If you make your identity something else, that's up to you. But divine success tells you and me that write down, this is what you are expected to be. And this is what you want to be. So I hope we've taken something back from Surat al-Inshiqaq. Tomorrow we will look at, inshallah, Ziyarat al-Ashura, because we're going to recite it. We're going to look at it a little bit about it, talk about it, and hopefully, inshallah, understand it. So if you could bring your Ziyarat al-Ashura books, you'll be able to annotate them as well. Okay. Today we look at a little boy, tiny little child. A child who had no strength at all. I'm going to tell you a little bit about his mama. Because his mama is really, really important, okay? So Imra al-Qais is a Christian. He comes to Medina and he accepts Islam. He becomes a Muslim. When he becomes a Muslim, the first thing Imam Ali does is goes to his house to welcome him and to say, welcome to our community, right? He was a different person. He wasn't part of the Muslim community to welcome him. Now Imra had 3 daughters, Maliha, Salma, and Rabab. And this is what Imra al-Qais says. He says, I have 3 daughters, all very intelligent, all learned, all good kids. So, Ya Ali, I would like to give you Maliha. It was a done thing at that time. Maliha as your wife. I will give Salma to Hassan, and I will give Rabab to Hussein. That's what he says. And Imam Ali says, yes, definitely. That was one way of integrating people into the community. Now, Rabab was a very intelligent poet, phenomenal person. Let me read you some of the things that Imam Hussein al-Islam writes about her. He says, I swear I love the house in which Rabab and Sakina live, and I would sacrifice all my worldly belongings on them. This is part of poetry that he wrote about them. So you can see the awesomeness of this woman. Absolutely awesome. I could read a lot about her. We tend to forget her. If you look at the women of Karbala, oh my goodness, you want to be like them. Okay? So this woman, on the day of Ashura, she's looking at her child. 6-month-old child. There are many riwayah. One says the child did not get any water, but still got mama's milk, but then on the last day, just before Ashura, which we're talking about today, yesterday, tomorrow, the milk dried up. So baby was really, really helpless. No food, no water. And I don't need to tell you today where to look to see what is happening. Okay? So mom has only one dua. And I look at her and I think about her words, because my dua would be, Ya Allah, I don't want my child to suffer at all. Take his suffering away. Yet her dua was, Ya Allah, keep my child until such time as he is useful to you. Then do what you want with my child. But my child must be useful to you. He must make a mark on this world. He must leave the world a better place than what he found it. And I'm thinking, Rabab, 6 months old. 6 months old. And when Imam Hussein al-Islam said, "Hal min nasri yansurna? Hal min mughithi yughithuna?" Is there anyone to help us? Is there anyone to come to our aid? This child throws himself out of the cradle. And it's the first time that Rabab starts crying. And when she cries, remember, she is the love of his life. He runs inside the tent. He cannot bear her tears. And he says, "Rabab, I am still here. Why are you crying so much?" And she says, "Mawla, look at the baby. He threw himself out of his cradle. Where did he get this strength?" And Imam says, "You know what? He's thirsty. Let me take him to the army of Yazid, because after all, there'll be fathers in that army. They will have a human heart." So he takes the baby, he covers the baby with his cloak, and he takes him out in the hot sun in front of this army. When he takes this baby to this army, he says, "Look, you don't like me. You have a problem with me because I am not agreeing with your leader. But what problem do you have with this child? Again, look at what is happening in the world today. What do the children, what wrong have they done?" Now there were fathers in that army. And some of them were running towards the Furat with their water bags because they couldn't see this at all. And Imam is telling them, "If you think I will drink the water, I will put the baby on the hot sands of Karbala. Just give the baby a little bit of water." At that moment, Umar Saad tells Hurmala, "Iqtal kalam al-Hussein, kill the words of Hussein." So Hurmala takes an arrow, a three-pronged arrow. Have you seen how the children today are being killed? Anyway, he takes a three-pronged arrow and it aims it at the child. And the arrow falls and Umar Saad says, "Hurmala, you're afraid of a child." He says, "No. When I look at the tent, I can see Mama is watching. The tent door is going up and down. I can't do this." The second arrow pins the child to his father. Imam raises his hands and he says, "Ya Rabbi, taqabbal minni, accept this sacrifice for me." Now Imam, phenomenal man, but he doesn't know how he will take this child to his mama. He goes back and forth seven times, which we do in Amal Ashura. We say, "Ridham bi kadaihi wa tasliman li amri." We're actually following Imam. We're saying, "Ya Allah, I am at peace with your command." The seventh time he goes to Mama. And he says, "Rabab, I have brought your son back." She looks one look at her son and she says, "Asghar, if they had told me that this is what they do to children, I'd have dressed you like a soldier, Asghar." Baba makes a grave behind the tent. Mama lays her child into the grave and she closes it and she says, "I don't have any water to pour over your grave, but my tears might help, Asghar." On the night of Shami Ghariba, Sayyida Zainab says, "Please take some rest." She says, "Babi," which means sister-in-law, "put your head down. Rest for a little while." And she kept on saying it. Umar Rabab says, "I can't. Every time I put my head down, I hear Asghar. How can I put my head down?" Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sayalamuna alladhina zalamu. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be able to understand his book, to be able to apply it to our life. And let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us the opportunity to tell the angel of death when he comes, "I did my best. Please accept this from me." Let us pray for all those children in the world in the name of Ali al-Asghar who today are suffering, Ya Allah. We ask you to relieve their suffering and to give peace to the land where there is so much fasad. فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ